This is happiness, to be everything at once. Be unblinded, be unlearned, be unbridled and unburned.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Mood Prep. My name is Dave Nixon, and today I want to ask you the question of how much thinking is overthinking? Like, really, what is the correct amount of thinking? What is the correct measurement of thinking? What actually clarifies as a thought? If I'm listening and I'm hearing their words in my head, is that a thought? Or is it always thinking of situations that have never happened? That might happen, or situations that did happen that could have happened differently. What exactly is overthinking? And this is a really powerful question, especially for people that identify as someone who overthinks. I had a conversation today with a client, and they talked about how much they overthink. And I mean, it's worth checking in. It's like, are you sure? Well, I think so. I didn't ask that. I should have asked that. But my point here saying this is going, it doesn't mean that this person maybe should or should not think less or more. That's beside the point. What the point here is understanding is like, well, what is my measurement of overthinking? What is my measurement of thinking? What are my actual thoughts? Are the thoughts that come through my mind, am I choosing to identify as them as my thoughts rather than just other environmental factors, right? Because there's so many reasons why thoughts may come through our mind. Our state and our emotions change our thoughts, right? Our environment, sudden things in our environment, right? New environments. Even thinking like just on a basic level, if you're driving to a new area, right? Your brain is constantly looking for threats. You've got massive amounts of stimulus because before cars, unless a human fell from a great height, nothing traveled that fast. We never traveled at 40 kilometers an hour, 60, 80, 100 kilometers an hour, or 60 miles an hour, whatever you want to call it. So the stimulus for the human brain to take in information at that speed is crazy. And all you're doing is going down a new street you haven't been before, have you? It's hard to tell, right? And so the interesting thing around all of this is going, well, hang on a sec, how much exactly is overthinking? And how much of my thoughts are heavily influenced by all the things around me? And so it's not about controlling your thoughts. That's not the point. What it is, it's controlling the thoughts you deem to be true. And this is very different, right? Because we can have thoughts come through us, and maybe they're old belief structures. It's like coding in the Matrix, hey? It's like coding of a computer. They're old belief structures that at some point they fucking worked for a result. They had a positive intention. Even if looking at it now, the positive intention was pretty rubbish, maybe it was to get attention or significance from your parents, right? Well, I'm a piece of shit. I don't deserve to be loved anyway, so I may as well get treated like shit. I may as well, you know, be in a negative relationship. I may as well not get a job, etc., 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 etc. All these sorts of examples. And they sound like there can't possibly be a positive intention in any of them. But at the core, that person is simply just seeking something such as significance, connection, love, variety, certainty, something, right? And the interesting thing around that is that whilst they seek that, it matters less how they get it. It matters more that they get it. And so that develops behaviors. It develops belief structures. And those belief structures, like I said, are like coding for the brain. And they stick around. But later on in life, they just don't work as well. So what are we going to do, right? And so what happens is that we have to be able to identify and acknowledge that these old structures, frames, beliefs once served a purpose, and acknowledge that for its purpose, and then learn to choose to make a new decision, to make a new belief, a new, let's say, constructive, resourceful frame. Change the coding, right? Update fucking Windows 95. Because the ability to do that is extremely powerful, has massive consequences. Now we start to actually see our thoughts and then not control our thoughts, but change our thoughts as they control us, so to speak, right? Because we will always act in accordance to our our deeper belief structures or unconscious belief structures, our unconscious frames, right, will always act in accordance to them. But thing is that beliefs are just thoughts. When somebody goes, I believe, and whatever follows, it's just a thought, right? People go, well, it's more than just a thought. It's like, sure, there's other things associated with it, but at the core of it, it's just a thought. Because you changed it, because you had to create it at some point. Maybe it was gifted to you. Maybe your parents installed that into you. And so you took that on. So do you believe that, or was that a certain level of external authority that was gifted to you by your parents because you should listen to authority? This is complex stuff, but it's also quite simple, because what we can do is simply step out of it. Rather than saying we're this way or we're that way, we step back and go, actually, I get to choose. That's my power. I get to choose. I get to choose what I deem to be true. I get to choose what no longer serves me and go about working to make sure that it no longer has control of me. I get to choose. And that's a really powerful space to be in, because when we get to choose, then even the things that we may seem to be unresourceful for us in our life, we chose to do it. No one made us do it. I chose that. And I'm never going to choose that again, which is a choice. Right? So when I allow someone to treat me in a particular way, I'm not going to blame them. I'm not going to blame myself either. I'm simply taking responsibility. I let that person treat me like shit. Because I know that I let them treat me like shit, I'm never going to let anyone else do that again. That's taking responsibility for the situation. Not take responsibility for their behavior and their action, but the responsibility of allowing that person to treat you like shit. Now, it's the same as anything else. Same as your job, right? Same as your sport, same as anything, your learning, right? It's really powerful. We can step back and start to see all of these belief structures, all of these thoughts that are no longer us. And people go, well, now how much are we overthinking? What's underthinking? Right? And so what we want to move away from, if this you're this way inclined, is the idea of there's an over and under, there's all that sort of stuff. There's thinking, and it occurs. And you are the observer of the thoughts. You are not the thoughts. You are the thing that sees it. It's like you're the... And the judge isn't the right word, but you're literally the witness to the thoughts. And you get to deem what's true. And that way, you can learn how to speak your truth. And you learn to see the parts of you that aren't really you, that are the egoic structures screaming out for whatever the things that weren't healthily installed as a child or a teenager or something along those lines. The need to be seen, the need for attention, the need for love outside of you, right? The part that makes you think, and here's a really good question, I'm going to leave it on this. The part that makes you think that you are your body, that we are a person rather than we have a body, right? And this is a question that I ask often when this comes up. It's like, okay, well, if you see people as being a person and that's it, if they lose an arm, are they less of a person? Does that make them less of a person? Does that make them less worthy of love or anything? Well, the answer is surely no. So why would any other conditions on our physical body be any different? On that note, team, I'm done. I hope you found this podcast beneficial. It would mean the world to me if you'd pass it on to someone else you think that also find it beneficial. And I totally still think you should come to my seminar, 2-day seminar up in Sydney, going through emotional intelligent models and paths of development individually and collectively. It's on Saturday the 21st and 22nd of September. Otherwise, team, that's kind of me done. You can find out more about that at my website, devnixon.com.au/seminars. Otherwise, you can also find out about it on Instagram. But until tomorrow, team, you know the deal. Peace and pizza. Kick today in the dick. Slay the dragon. I'll see you soon.
Brad Bodnarchuk coming from you here in Vancouver, Canada. I had a quick question for you today after listening to Can't Hate What You Don't Know. So my question is, if we are in this mindset of accepting people and just understanding it's just our experience of them, how do we not become just so passive in what we're meaning? What do we actually stand for? So if someone's acting a certain way, it is triggering us, sure, but do we have to have, or should we have, standards in our life for the people that are around us? And how do you do that without projecting your ideals, your vision of how someone should show up and should act? So it's a balance that I'm struggling with. How do you stand for something, but also be super accepting as well?